Hello, my name is Tori Whitaker Martinez, and I'm the lead editor for Infection Control Today. And today I have Carrie Ann Morales, MD, who is the Hope and Helps Medical Director. And we're going to be talking about HIV and PrEP and discussing this topic that can be kind of sensitive with teenagers or even anyone else that we think needs to hear this conversation. So I appreciate you, Dr. Morales, coming and joining with me today.
Thank you for having me.
You're most welcome. So my very first question is, why is it so important for teens today to learn about PrEP as well as HIV? I mean, I was that era where when we were growing up, was like, oh, it was very scary. People were dying, people we knew, Freddie Mercury. I remember, I'm older. I remember when he died and how devastating it was, but it was also very scary. So, why do teens today need to know it? And how can parents and providers, including infection preventionists, introduce it in an age-appropriate way?
Yeah, I think it's really important because, as you mentioned, fear and stigma gets attached to subjects related to sexual health, related to things like HIV or other sexually transmitted infections. And we need to move away from the fear and the stigma, and just start having these conversations like we would talk about anything that we would regularly talk with our family members, right? About our general health maintenance. These are things about our day-to-day activities that we should just be mindful, so that we can have the correct information to protect ourselves and to be able to live healthy, productive lives.
I agree completely. Do you think it's easier now for parents than maybe my parents or even I might have had with my kids? What do you think?
I think to some degree it might be because it's something that is a little bit more prevalent in social media, in TV, in movies. To some extent, this is something that is more available to the general population when we talk about sexual activity or sexual or questions, right? Like we are in a different era where even when I was growing up, things were not really necessarily communicated in that way, and it was a little bit more hush-hush and more secretive, and like there's certain topics that people wouldn't broach altogether. But right now, the importance is to kind of break the ice and have that conversation. For example, getting screened for HIV is a grade A recommendation from the United States Task Force for anybody between the ages of 18 and 65. That is a higher recommendation than doing your blood pressure check every visit. So it's about normalizing how we see talking about HIV screening, talking about STIs to the point where we are having the conversation in the same vein that we would be talking about checking for blood pressure, checking for if to see if you have vitamin deficiencies, checking to see, for cancer screenings, or for age-appropriate vaccinations or preventative testing. It should be exactly the same. We need to take the fear away from it so that we can start having conversations that are solely based on prevention and just trying to set us up for a successful, healthy life.
Agreed. Most people know what HIV or AIDS are, or have some kind of general idea of what it is. Could you give us a sentence or two about what it is, just so that we know for sure? And then what is PrEP? Just for clarification, just because there might be people who don't know.
So HIV, human immunodeficiency virus, is a sexually transmitted infection. The only way that you can get this infection is through sharing bodily fluids that have high amounts of the virus. So right now, the most common way to get it is through sexual activity. You can't get this infection from hugging somebody, from kissing somebody, from even sharing, eating utensils or glasses. This is something strictly that you have to have a sexual contact to get exposed to it. If you were to have a significant blood exposure, that's another way to get the infection. But currently, HIV is part of the tests that get done on anything like blood products or blood transfusions. So that's it's not really a risk right now to get it through blood products. AIDS is essentially kind of its more severe form of the infection. It's essentially something that occurs only if you don't get treatment for a very prolonged period of time. Right now, we have so many great therapies that even if you were to get diagnosed with HIV, you can have a healthy, long life similar to somebody who doesn't have HIV by just taking one pill a day. And now we even have medications that only require to have treatment every other month. So you don't even have to take a pill every day. And then for AIDS, as long as you get into treatment, you can actually revert the severe immunodeficiency that the virus causes, and eventually get back to a good immune system as long as we start you on treatment. So PrEP is pre-exposure prophylaxis. This is a medication that you take ahead of having an exposure so that your body is protected and it reduces the possibility of you getting this infection up to 99%. And now we have a real wide gamma of medications. We have currently two approved oral medications and we have two injectable medications. So there's really such a wide array of options for people that are interested in PrEP that depending on what your lifestyle, what your comfort level is, there's literally an option for everybody. There's an option regardless of your past medical history. Really, it's just finding, starting this conversation, which is really important, getting the information from your provider, and then just beginning the journey to make sure that you're healthy.
That's wonderful. Thank you for explaining. These are words that we get thrown around all the time, but sometimes it's nice to just get that definition again, to clarify it. So, getting back to discussing it with teenagers, many adults struggle with how to talk about sex with their child. I have a 14-year-old son. As soon as I even mention the word kissing, he's like, la, 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 la. It's like, no, I don't want to talk about it. So, what advice would you give parents, educators, infection preventionists, anyone who is going to come in, be able to discuss this topic with kids or even adults who don't know about it in an honest, shame-free conversation?
I think the first step that anybody that's going to have these conversations with, whether that be teenagers, young adults, or older adults, is reckoning with what you think these issues are and finding, understanding what your biases might be regarding the topics and feeling comfortable with the subject matter as well. Because if you have doubts, if you have uncomfortable feelings about it, if you have certain discomfort, that's going to translate when you have these conversations with other people because they are going to see that you have doubt or that you feel uncomfortable. So the first baseline is getting information, learning yourself, feeling comfortable being able to understand the information and relaying it to somebody, and being able to understand that the conversation in and of itself shouldn't cause you to have kind of a hesitance or some form of like you have to get to the point where you yourself don't feel like it's a loaded conversation, and that's the first step. Once you're able to talk about this, like you're talking about going out to dinner or going out to see friends, that's the level of comfort that you have to have for you to be able to have a productive conversation about it with somebody else. Because if not, people are going to see, oh, well, you're telling me this, but you really don't really seem to really be comfortable with the information, and you seem to have, fear around it as well. So for me, it's easy for me to say because this is like a regular conversation. It isn't something that I find scary. It's At the end of the day, it's about giving people the right tools and the right information, because when you have information, when you're completely informed, you are able to make better decisions about your health, about keeping yourself safe, about doing prevention. So it all starts with that. Just understanding that at the end of the day, the whole purpose of having these conversations is to get information. That's the baseline. And then once you ha feel comfortable having the conversation, make sure that you ask questions about what they already know, right? How comfortable they feel having the conversation altogether. Ask them what their concerns are, if they're already having fears, because you would be surprised. Some people already have a level of information or knowledge about subjects that are already also contributing to their reception of the information. So make an assessment about how they feel about it. Are they already anxious? Are they uncomfortable? And then try to, in an environment where you're not judging, where it doesn't matter, where there's nothing that they could potentially ask or tell you that's going to, make you feel uncomfortable. In that setting, that's when you start to share with them the information that you have. And if you don't know something, that's okay. You could always look it up and look it up together. There's a lot of great resources available for people to get information from the NIH or the CDC, or even from international sites where you can get you standard of care information, guideline-based information that you can certainly ask questions and get answers.
What do you say when they push back and say, "Mom, Mom, I'm not gay. Leave me alone. I'm not gonna get it." What do you say to that?
I honestly, you'd be surprised. That's something that a lot of people retort. And you have to say, listen, it has nothing to do with who you're having sex with. It's the fact that you're having sex altogether. It doesn't matter how you identify, it doesn't matter who your partners are. If you are somebody who's having unprotected sex, that is your risk factor. You can be, any person identifying in any way with any sexual orientation, it doesn't matter. You can be, and it doesn't matter your level of education, it doesn't matter your profession. As long as we have to like move away from I'm not that person, or I would never, right? Because I tend to always counter, well, what does this look like? Because you would be surprised how many people are walking around in your environment who might be living with HIV, and you would never know, and you would probably not know. And that's the point, because we have such great medication that right now there is no physical appearance necessarily about what you would look like if you had HIV. So it's not about what we think people with the infection look like. It's understanding that if we are doing the activities that could put us at risk, that is what's going to potentially cause us to have an infection.
With that thought, then, who should get PrEP?
Yeah.
Because not
So,
everybody should, right?
yeah. So basically, PrEP is ideal for anybody who is having multiple sexual partners. Anybody who's ever had a sexually transmitted infection, usually within the last 6 months. Anybody who, kind of expanding that to people who are using intravenous drug use, those are patients that should also consider being on PrEP. And ultimately, anybody who feels like they have the concern. You should bridge the conversation with your provider and have those questions and see if you are the right candidate for it. So essentially, if any of these things are subjects that you have come across, or even you're just interested, having the conversation, because ultimately having the talk with your provider, they're going to be able to tease out, oh yeah, this makes sense for you or not. Because we also have to look at the bigger picture, right? What are the other medications that you're taking? Do you have any other medical conditions? So ultimately, starting the conversation comes from us individually, the patients, and then the providers are going to be able to let you know if it makes sense for you or not.
Fair enough. So, with so much misinformation about HIV, sexual health, like you said, everything's online, everything's in movies. What knowledge or what information can infection preventionists and other providers give to teens or anyone else with trustworthy, accessible information? We talked about finding it online, but maybe they don't trust it. Maybe they don't want, trust something that's from overseas. What are there any specific websites or pamphlets or books that we can get to give that information out?
Yeah, basically, the reputable resources that we currently use to inform us come from the Center for Disease Control, the CDC, and they have a very expansive website on HIV, on PrEP, on STIs, and there's both information for people, just people who want the information, and for providers. And you can get explanations that are very in-depth. You could also seek out, local community centers like ours here in Hope and Help, where we have educational material. We also provide conferences to the communities to talk about PrEP and HIV and other STIs as well, where we're able to reach a larger audience and provide some answers for people who are, interested or who have doubts of the subject matter.
Fair enough. Do you have anything else you would like to add?
I think the most important thing is one, understanding that it's okay to be uncomfortable, it's okay to be fearful, but it is important to not shy away from asking these important questions or from seeking the information just because we're fearful. Knowing your status, if you have never had an HIV test and you've been sexually active, is the first step, because understanding where you fall in between being positive or not being positive will allow you to make responsible decisions for your health, right? If you're negative, you can start on PrEP. If you're positive, you can start your journey for treatment, and that will allow you to be able to have the same quality of life as somebody who's not living with HIV.
Thank you so much for joining me today. This has been amazing. I've learned a lot, things that I didn't know, and I appreciate that very much.
You're very welcome, Tori. It's been a real big pleasure to be here. I appreciate it. Thank you for the invitation.
You're most welcome. Thank you.